The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace to you and peace from God who confounds, transforms, calls, interrupts, inconveniences, comforts us in sorrow, and afflicts us in our comforts, and who for all intents and purposes seems always to call us out when we least want it and sends us out when we are most comfortable. In short, grace to you and peace from a God who will not seem to leave us alone, even when that may seem to us to be what we want the most. Not the greeting you expected this morning. Not the same old thing that I have said to start my sermon for the past 13 years. I've had a bit of an epiphany. It started Tuesday. Presiding Bishop Elizabeth Eaton invited all of the rostered people, clergy, deacons, etc., to join her for a live town meeting, a town hall meeting. To learn more about what the ELCA is calling Future Church. Since last November, it's been billed as a bold new direction for the ELCA, a new vision, a new way of being. So I dutifully reported to my home office, sat in my chair at 7:25 a.m., coffee in hand, logged onto my computer, and punched in the code for the meeting. Error, it said. Error. Naturally, I assumed I had done something wrong. So I went back to my email from Bishop Eaton, clicked on the official link, and was immediately prompted to download Microsoft Meetings. Never a good sign. So I downloaded Microsoft Meetings. I went through all the machinations. It went on for about 20 minutes. Error. Error. The meeting has not started. Then the texting started. My friend Keith texted, "Are you on?" "I can't get on." And it just started all across the country. So finally I decided I would check with the one person I knew would know if the problem was just Hawaii, so I texted Katie Grinberg. And I said, in my usual polite way, "I don't seem to be able to get on. Are you on?" And she said, "No." And the ELCA website crashed. Nope. Nobody could get on. It may have been that I might have texted a few slightly snarky things as this was going on. I may have texted headline for the next Living Lutheran. Future Church Conference decides to return to 1820. But I'll certainly never admit doing it. In the end, Bishop Eaton finally sent a tweet out that was relayed by email to us non-tweeters that the event would be held without us, recorded, and emailed out later due to technical difficulties. Error. So much for the future church. Someone, surely not me, may have tweeted out or texted out, "Well, I guess this doesn't bode well for the future of the church." Later that morning, after I started my exegetical work for my sermon for this morning, I watched the video that the bishop sent out with its three objectives. Get younger, be bolder, be more hip, I don't know. Really cool, hip, young, smart people were there on the video cheering on us old and equally large-hipped clergy with great jargon and a neat graphic with marbles, encouraging us to make new connections with new people. It was absolutely wonderful and exciting, mind-blowing. As I leaned back on my chair, drank the last dregs of my cold coffee, and said, "Well, that was new icing on some very old cake." But then I had the epiphany. I started once again to read the story of Jesus calling the first disciples. You know, that day as Jesus walked along the beach where Simon and Andrew and James and John were fiddling with their nets as the sun was breaking, always it always had. The boats were creaking on the sand like they always had creaked. Cracked fingers, knotted nets, just as they had done the day before and for years and years. Everything was the same that day as it had always been, except for Jesus. Except for the one who confounds and transforms and calls and interrupts and inconveniences and comforts us in our sorrows and afflicts us in our comforts, and who, for all intents and purposes that day, seemed set to call people who probably were not interested in being called. And he said to them, "Simply follow me." And they did. The text says that they dropped their nets, they left their fathers, they left everything that they knew, and they followed Jesus, and then everything changed. Not in a hero magical kind of way where they all started suddenly to catch fish. That comes in a later story. Where they suddenly started to catch all kinds of fish and started a cannery on the bank of the Sea of Galilee. It's not that. Instead, they are called to Jesus. They stop fishing for a living and instead begin to teach us how to live. It is remarkable that those few words of Jesus, "Come and follow me," become a catalyst which will bring profound change. It will bring a profound upheaval of social systems and economies and faith lives, religions. Everything changes with those words, "Come, follow me." Imagine for a moment if they had done, if those disciples that day on the beach in that early morning as they mended their nets, what if they did what I think I might have done that morning? It's early. Coffee's gone. Some rabbi comes by and says, "Hey, come and follow me and we will fish for people. Get thee gone," I might have said. It's not what I originally wrote in the sermon, but I didn't think it was going to be socially acceptable. I would have said it in a perhaps more colloquial way. What if they hadn't listened that morning? Or what if they had chosen not to hear Jesus? Or what if they had closed their minds that morning to the galaxy of hope that was casually walking by? They and we would have missed an incredible opportunity to experience something remarkable, life-changing, hopeful, even holy. We never know, we will never know what might have happened had they said no that day. I almost missed it last Tuesday. I heard the words coming through the computer speakers, and I saw the rather attractive and quite hip people from the ELCA talking about what could happen in the future church, but I could not hear. I realized later that I had missed something in the story, what they had hoped I would hear. You see, I missed the power of the story of Jesus on the beach at the lake. What the representatives of the ELCA and Jesus were both in the end saying is that the ministry to which we have been called is not Jesus' ministry alone. That day, Jesus was doing nothing more and nothing less than turning the responsibility for love, compassion, care, transformation, interdependence, understanding, all of that over to simple fisher folk and to us, so that the world might breathe with holy breath God's life-giving ruach. That day on the call with the bishop, the point was really not the substance or the content of the call or the gimmick or the cute slides of marbles in a jar, but a call to return to ministry. To the ministry of a God giving from creation, given to creation, to bear the good news that God is in the world in a way that neither life nor death nor political parties or dictators or the Caesars of this world can undo. You see, the point of the whole thing that happened that day was that God was calling us to the ministry that we thought belonged to God, but that belongs to us. There will be no ministry in this future church without you. God will continue, the work of God will continue whether we sign on or not. But for the Lutheran Church, for the Lutheran Church of Honolulu and the greater people who call this place home, there will be no ministry unless we hear that call, come and follow me. It is so easy to become bound to what we have always done and how we have always been and what we have always sung and said and done, that we forget that the Holy Spirit is wild and free and sometimes blowing us completely off our feet. The disciples that day, as they stood by their nets, could not have anticipated what they were in for. What I find really exciting about the future church is that we have no idea what we are in for unless we stop listening and just keep texting, unless we don't look up from our phones and our computers to see the world that God has made around us and be filled with wonder for what it might have in store for us in ministry. To be sure, the future of the church will always be rooted in Jesus, for it will not be the church without that. But it will find life and breath in our hands, our eyes, our voices and the hope that God gives us as the gift of grace in faith. So let's walk the beach with Jesus and see what we find. Put fear and clinging to traditions aside, to have our own little epiphanies every day that perhaps we have rooted ourselves too deeply in ourselves and not enough in the mystery of God. And in that epiphany, we may see love and the world in a whole new way. Amen. Our worship continues with our hymn of the day, "You Have Come Down to the Lakeshore," ELW number 817.